Facebook, and the recording is starting. Today is December 7th, 2016, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our weekly Lunch and Learn. And today we have a really interesting discussion. We're going to drill very deep into the meaning of one word in this week's Parsha. Everyone could take one of those. And also open up your Chumashim.
I don't know if I put out enough. I didn't know how much.
I'm gonna go.
We are in Parshat.
No, I think
Vayetze. And we're towards the end of the Parsha, chapter 31, verse 46.
Is this yours?
Page 66. I see Sandra Morgan, whose son is having a bris tomorrow, is watching. So hello, Sandra. Mazel tov.
Oh.
Okay. I just invited everyone on Facebook to the bris, Sandra. So bring some extra bagels. Okay. So we're on page 66 in the Chumashim. And this is an event that takes place after Yaakov has lived with Lavan. Right, he has married Rachel and Leah, and he feels that he's been mistreated, and it's time to leave. He wants to leave, and then Lavan chases after him, and they have some harsh words, and then they finally sort of make up, and they agree to part company. And before they part company, they decide, Yaakov decides that he's going to make some sort of a meal, celebratory meal, for his group of people, for his family, and Lavan's family, the people who are going to be left behind. So that's sort of the backstory, right? Many of you are familiar with the story of Rachel and Leah, and the older daughter and the younger daughter. Right, that whole story, that's what happens. That's what's going on here, and now they're ready to leave. Okay, so let's look at what happens, and I'll raise the question in a minute. We're on page 66, and we're going to be on verse 46. All right, well, let's actually just start a little earlier, just a little background. Let's start back on page 65 with Pasuk Mem Gimel, 46.
46? That's
at 60. Page 65, verse 43. Okay? Actually, let's go to verse 38. Zeh Shem Shana Anochi Imchar Rechelecha Ve'izecha Lo Shikelu Ve'elei Tzoncha Lo Achalti. These 20 years I have spent in your service, right? Yaakov's complaining to Lavan, I've been there for 20 years. I've taken care of all your animals, right? There's never been a miscarriage. I did not eat anything. That which was torn by beast I never brought to you. I myself made good the loss you exacted of me, whether snatched by day or snatched by night. Often scorching heat ravaged me by day and frost by night and sleep fled from my eyes, right? Yaakov worked very hard for Lavan. Of the 20 years that I spent in your household, I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flocks, and you changed my wages time and again, right? So Yaakov, you can see here that Yaakov is really unhappy, and he feels that he has been treated really poorly. He's been cheated. He's been lied to. He's been overworked and underpaid, okay? Had not the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac been with me, you would have sent me away empty-handed. Right, had not been for divine intervention, it would have been worse. Right, but God took care of me. But God took notice of my plight and the toil of my hands, and He gave judgment last night. Okay, so I finally got what I deserved. Then Lavan spoke up and said to Yaakov, "The daughters are my daughters, the children are my children, and the flocks are my flocks. All that you see is mine. Yeah, what can I do now about my daughters or children they have born?" Meaning, really, it's interesting, the daughters are my daughters. He never really, in his mind, gave up on his daughters once they married Yaakov, that they were actually going to leave or be under someone else's watchful eye, right? They're still my daughters. And your children? They're my children. Right? Right? Which is a very strange claim. Right? And the flocks are my flocks. What am I supposed to do? I can't stop my daughters from going to. They're grown women. And I can't stop their children either. Come. He doesn't talk about the flocks anymore. Come, then let us make a pact, you and I, that there may be a witness between you and me. Thereupon Yaakov took a stone and set it up as a pillar. Okay, so now we get to the question. Right? So there's a pillar that's set up by Yaakov. And then Yaakov then says the following. Then the Torah says the following. Vayomer Yaakov le'echav liktu avanim, vayikhu avanim, vayasu gal, vayochlu sham al hagal. Yaakov said, and the Hebrew word is echav. That's the word we're going to try to translate for the rest of our time today.
Yeah, but didn't they supposed to have an agreement? What's going on? What's going to happen? Why is the monument?
Well, the monument is going to be a witness that they have an agreement.
Oh, but we don't know anything.
No, we don't. No. Meaning, yeah, the agreement is they agree to part company and hate each other forevermore. Right?
And the soul is going to remind
okay?
them.
But so the question that a lot of the commentaries struggle with is, who is this Echav? Translated in the Torah here, translated in our version of the JPS Tanakh, for those of you watching at home, I'll show you what it is. Okay? It says, kinsman, which is a cop-out, I think, a little bit. Kinsman, what does Echav mean?
Brothers.
It means brothers. That's what it literally means. It means brothers. Pasuk 46. Vayomer Yaakov le'echav. Okay, so who are these people? Who are these kinsmen? Now, by the way, there's one clear problem with this. Echav means what again?
Brother.
Brother?
Brothers.
Brothers. How many brothers did Yaakov have?
Just one.
One. Esav. So that's a problem to begin with. What's another problem?
Esav wasn't there.
Esav wasn't there, right? So it can't mean brothers, right? It can't literally mean brothers because he only had one brother, and the one brother that he had wasn't there, right? And we're going to get to a midrash that's going to talk about that. Mm. So it definitely doesn't mean brothers. What else can it mean?
Kinsmen.
What does kinsmen mean? Ah, it can mean who?
The grandchildren. I mean, his children.
His children, okay. It can mean his children.
He didn't have any children yet.
Yaakov had children.
Yeah.
But now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His children. Well, okay, so let's Shula. Echav, Shula. Echav can mean children, right? You're saying?
Yeah.
Good, then why, that's true. Then you should have another question. The follow-up question. If this means children, then why not just say children, right? If Echav means children, why not just say Vayomer Yaakov Libanav?
Well, something like Bnei Banim Kebanim.
So. But these aren't Bnei Banim. These are his children. Right? Yaakov said to his children. And there are some commentaries who say you're right.
Kebanim, so maybe
but the next question is, if it's children, why not say children?
Maybe he meant all the people who were his entourage, his servants right. and his...
Okay, good. Could mean other people. What's another option?
Did he have an entourage?
Lavan's children?
Lavan's posse. Okay, so let's look at all the possibilities here, and then we'll get to a fascinating nitziv afterwards. Okay? So first, from the Doc Mikra, page one in your packet. If you're looking at a page that looks like this, all Hebrew, turn it around and go to a page that looks like this, also all Hebrew. But it says page one on the bottom. On the bottom, Vayomer Yaakov Le'echav. Everyone see where the bracket is on the bottom?
Right.
Shel Lavan. Whose brothers... What are the kinsmen here?
Lavan's
brothers. Kimo Vayomer Paro El Echav Mama Seichem. Paro said to his brothers, What do you do for a living? Who was he talking to? He was talking to Yosef's brothers, right? This is when Yosef is reunited with his brothers in Vayigash. Paro refers to them as brothers. It's not his brothers. He's talking, we know from context, he's talking to Yosef's brothers. So what are we seeing here? That sometimes the word brothers can mean not the brothers of the person who is speaking, but the brothers of the person of another group who is involved in that conversation. Okay? Vayomer paro lechav ma maseichem el echav shel Yosef, top of the left column. to the brothers of Yosef. V'chein lemata v'yikra le'echav le'echol lechem le'echav shel Lavan. There explicitly in the next verse, earlier it said he called them a little bit later. I'm sorry, in Nun Dalet, right at the end of the pasuk, at the end of the perek, he called to the brothers, which brothers of Lavan. Lomar Yaakov banidun l'Lavan atzmo derech kavod. And in this case, he didn't ask Lavan directly to help him pick up this stone, because that would not have been kavod to ask his father-in-law to help him schlep a stone. So he doesn't do it. He doesn't ask Lavan directly. He asks Lavan's sons directly. Vayomer lashon pikuda. Lavan's brothers. Vayomer lashon pikuda. Lashon is a language of commandment. I'm directing you. That's why he couldn't do it to Lavan. That wouldn't have been nice. Kenyan lushonota amirashu parashat haberia. Okay. So ulinyan haachim, and regarding these brothers, hein shel Lavan, hein shel Yaakov. We're not going to get to that. Okay. So according to this commentary, the Dat Mikra, a modern commentary, it means the echav here, the brothers here, are Lavan's brothers, right? That's the most direct pshat, the most direct, straightforward explanation. It cannot mean Yaakov's brothers for two reasons. Yaakov only had one brother, and he wasn't here.
But they could have been just because they're now family, so they're my brothers.
We're going to get to that.
But it says his brothers. They could be Lavan's brothers.
That's exactly what we're saying.
But they're family. He's married to Lavan's daughters.
Right. So Lavan's brothers is the most direct, straightforward shot of this. Now, good. So now, the next source is really from an amazing book. Amazing. It's not a book. It's a series. It's from the Encyclopedia Biblica. We have it back there. Right? In Hebrew, it's called Encyclopedia. It's called Encyclopedia Mikra'it. Okay? You see it's nine volumes. And in this case, I looked up the word ach v'achot, brother and sister, to see what that means in the Torah. Right? What that means in the Bible. And we're going to see it. It's an amazingly versatile term, right? We think we know what it means. We think it means brother and sister. But in the Torah, it can mean virtually anybody. It's amazing. It can mean virtually anybody who's involved in the conversation. Let's just read a couple of paragraphs from Encyclopedia Biblica, Encyclopedia Mikra'it. Okay, on the page 2, on the right side, where it says number 1, Hamila ach himin hamilim hamishutafot l'kol hasafot ha-shimiyot. And all the Semitic languages share this word. They all use this word. V'horatan kirvat mishpacha. It refers to a relative. Av, Aim, Ben, Cham. Achim, Heim, Yiladei, Horim, Mishutafim. Right? It could be from shared parents. O Av, Mishutaf, or a shared father. O Aim, Mishutafet, or just a shared mother. Right? They're all in the... We don't call them half-brothers, right? In the Torah, they're called brothers or sisters, even if they only share one parent. Uvahora murchevet, in an even broader definition, sharkrovim, the rest of your relatives, anyone who's related to you, ach, my brother, v'nei shevet echad, members of one tribe, am ogeza echad, one nation or one
race,
thank you. Right, they're all.
That's why they say he'll bother.
Right, everybody's a brother.
Right, everyone. Right, so it's an amazing versatile term. And you see in this encyclopedia, he brings you examples of where the word "ach" is used in all of these different ways. V'ulai nishtamer b'horaazo surid mehashkafa antropologit keduma, an early anthropological meaning. Shekol b'nei dor echad achim heim. The whole generation, everyone in one generation is referred to as ach. Behora'a murchevet odioter, in an even wider definition, hazulat, yidid v'rea. Anyone you like, a friend is a brother, right? In Israel, by the way, in Israeli slang, everyone, achi, everyone's my brother. Again, to the taxi cab, achi. I buy a falafel, achi. Right, now brothers, right.
Today,
right.
It wasn't in the past.
Right. I said it's modern slang in Israel. Right. V'kach ba gam shem hanikeva achot V'horat ahuva re'ya kimo b'mitzrit, in the Egyptian language too. Kama pamim b'shir hashirim. Also in Shir Hashirim, the word achot is used not as my sister, it's my lover, actually. It's okay? Lo tamid efshar lehavchin ben hora'a yelu. That problem is you can't always tell in what context the word is being used. V'yesh she'ein lehachriya b'davar. And in some cases, you can't even be clear. And I think this is one of our situations. It's not 100% clear what it means here. We're going to see a couple of other definitions from other Perushim, right? The Dat Mikra says it means Lavan's brothers, but not everyone agrees with that. It's not 100% clear. This is one of the examples. We can't be certain who he's talking to. Whether it's talking about a blood brother or sister or some other relative, to a friend or a female friend. He gives an example, right? When two kings who are of equal stature speak to each other, they refer to each other as brothers. And that was the case in the ancient Near East. Chever b'misra, could even be someone who has a similar job as you do, right? That's another definite. Another time, so the word, it's amazing that just now you see what an important resource this book is, right? In one paragraph, we've seen that the word ach is used to refer to so many different people.
Too, the unions are often the brotherhood of teamsters.
Right, right.
I think the brotherhood of Yonatan also.
Pardon?
What's a brothers from different mothers?
David and Yonatan, Ken. Okay, turn to page 3. Oh, my friend Ruby Spolter is on. It's my chavrusa. Okay, hi Ruby. Okay, here we go. Next, he says, page three, number 2. Achva klalit hachuka hasotzialit shebetorah yisoda b'kishrei achva ben kol b'nei brit v'kiyamuch achicha umate yado. Right, anyone who's part of your b'nei brit here, this would be like Jewish people, right? When your brother becomes poor. Achicha is used, right? V'chai imach, al tikach me'ito neshech v'tarbit v'yareitam elokecha v'chai achicha imach. Kiyeh b'cha evyon mechad achicha b'echad sharecha b'artzecha, right? It's not talking about your brother, right? It's talking about your maybe your fellow Jew, or maybe, according to others, it could be somebody else. Number 3, kirvat achva shura haita gam ben b'nei Yisrael u'ben Edom. Tetzai Esav Achi Yaakov, right? Which brings us a little closer to our parsha, right? The offspring of Esav, Yaakov's brothers, Lo Titaev Admoni Ki Achichahu, right? That's more literal, right? Because these people are direct offspring of Esav, who really was a brother of Yaakov. Okay, and finally, Ra'ayon Ha'achva Shel Kol Bnei Adam, Hu Nach Bi Yisod Sefer Bereishit. Sipor al divrei yitzirat hazug harishon ubeperek al toldot bnei noach. Right, everyone is called a brother. V'chein ba Hashem ach b'tzirufim kigon ish et achiv, a person and his brother, etc. Miyad adam yad ish achiv edrosh et nefesh adam. It could be anyone in the whole world. So ach is an incredibly versatile term. So what on earth does it mean here? So according to Dat Mikra, it means Lavan's brothers. That's a very straightforward way to read it. That's pshat, I would say, of the pasuk. Rashi has a different version, a different opinion. Page 4. Le'echav, this is what Shula said. So Shula, baruch shekivant to Rashi, l'dat Rashi. Rashi says on the bottom of page 4, le'echav, heim banav. Haim Banav, his children. And he quotes a midrash, which we're going to get to in a minute. Shayulo Achim Nigashim Elav, who were his brethren who came to aid him in time of distress and war. Bet Resh there, or BR means Bereshit Rabbah. We'll get there. So according to Rashi, it's not Lavan's sons, it's Yaakov's sons. Which then brings us back to the question.
Why do you call them brothers?
Right? If it's talking about Yaakov's sons, why not just write sons? And Rashi could have said, they also helped them during war. Right? So Rashi's trying to say the reason they're called brothers and not sons is because they took on a sort of an added role. They were his sons, and they also were his brothers in arms. Right, they were his brothers in arms, right? That's what it says. Shayu lo achim nigashim elav litzara ulemilchama. Okay, so because Rashi understands the problem with his explanation.
But not yet.
Rashi wants to say, yes, they are his sons. If so, why not say sons? Ah, because they were more than sons. Right? They were sons plus brothers in arms. They fought side to side with him in battle. Okay? So that's Rashi. We're going to see something else in a minute. So now we have two understandings. Lavan's brothers, Rashi's brother, Yaakov's brothers, and the reason it doesn't say Yaakov's children, the reason it doesn't say children is because we want to understand that they were more than, they took on a more than a traditional childhood
children
role.
Children be more than brothers, vice versa?
No, meaning it's instead of, it's not just, so a child doesn't necessarily fight in a war with you. So these people fought in a war with him. So they're called brothers to sort of expand
the
role. Yeah,
I'm just saying it should be the opposite. You could be brothers, and, but it's really close. They're like children. I'm just,
Rabbi,
yeah.
It might have a timing conflict because we're talking about 20 years, right? Let's just say that how old sons of Yaakov could be at this time to accompany him to the war. This why...
Well, they could be 19, 18, 17.
Well, just think about it. It's not really clear if he became involved with the sisters right away, right, before he started to war. The Torah really doesn't say exactly...
Correct. Yeah, it's a good, very good question. Yeah, but
now,
obviously Rashi and the Midrash is assuming
now if you
that it that he did. That's a very good point.
If you make... assumption that it's not Irish twins, right? That they were not born every year. It means that we should have.
No, but he had Rachel and Leah
together.
And Zipa.
No, right? And the four
Rachel's kids.
And the two concubines.
He had a baby every year.
So yeah,
every
could
nine
be.
Months.
But, yeah.
It's possible. So it is possible. I understand your question, but it's possible. Four women at work here.
It sounds like that because Leah.
Four women at work, right?
Leah comes and says, "My womb is closed." And so that's what she gives
right.
the concubine. Right. So, you know, it sounds like she was having babies regularly, and then all of a sudden she didn't have one. And she's like,
It's hard to know for sure.
But we also know how old was Yosef when he was sold. Right? You know that he was 17. That just
do we know for sure? Is that explicit?
I believe.
You have to go back and look. I understand your point. It's a good point, but he did have a lot of people working in his factory to make babies. And yeah, maybe maybe they just were younger and they were by his side in distress. Okay.
They didn't go to college. I know.
Let's look at the Rashi. The Midrash that Rashi is based off of on page 5, which helps explain a little bit of Rashi's position, why they could also be called brothers. Okay? So the Midrash is on page 5. I want to read you the Midrash along with the commentary because it's very helpful. So if you see where the arrow is, follow across where the arrow is on page 5, where the bracket is. Vayomer Yaakov el Echav. He said to his brothers, Liktu Avanim. Right? Collect the stones. Kama achin hayulo. How many brothers did Yaakov have? Chad. He only had one. So we know he can't be talking to his brothers. And then the Midrash throws in this. Ulevai kavre. And we could only have hoped that he would have buried him by now. Meaning he wasn't such a, you know, they didn't get along, right? And plus, he wasn't there with him at the time. So we know it's not talking about Esav. Okay? Ella, who are these brothers? Elu Banav. They're his sons. Okay? Shehu Kore Otan Belashon HaKodesh Echav. So Rashi, the Midrash, is telling us something else now, which we learned from the Encyclopedia Mikrait, that sometimes in the Torah, the word Echav is used for other things. In this case, the Midrash is telling us or at least the explanation of the Midrash is telling us that the word the word echav, right? The Midrash is telling us that the word echav is sometimes used for banav. That in and of itself is a good enough explanation for what the Torah did. Now the Midrash gives us even another explanation for what the Torah did. Amar Rabbi Huna. Rabbi Huna says, see, Rashi didn't give us this. Rashi didn't tell us that sometimes echav is used to mean banav in the Torah. Rashi skipped that part of the Midrash. Rashi jumps to the second part of the Midrash, which is Amar Rabbi Huna, Giborim Kayotsebo, Tzadikim Kayotsebo. That these sons were righteous like he was, and brave like he was. I mean, they were very similar to him, which also explains why they were called brothers, right? They had similar characteristics, similar traits, right? So that's why it means brothers. And then he also quotes the commentary quotes a Midrash in Kohelet Rabbah that says they looked like them, and he was the same height as them, as him. Meaning these were, they had their growth spurt already, right? Not all of them, obviously, for the questions we raised, right? So that's why they're called Echav. They may have looked like brothers. They dressed like each other. They looked like each other. They had a similar character trait. So they're called Echav. So now we have two reasons. We have two reasons. One is Stam. Sometimes the Torah uses the word brother when it means son. Next is, in this case, they actually, if you looked at them, you would think they were brothers. They dressed the same. They looked the same. They acted the same. Let's just finish. Amar Rav Yudan, Lavash Adam Levusho Shel Aviv. Here it is. They dressed the same. Harei Hu Kayotze Bo. They were just like him. Uh-huh. Right? So they were called brothers because they really looked alike.
But they were brothers. Maybe he was referring. I mean, these were his children.
His brothers. The word is his brother.
Not his kids.
Brother. No, it said, that's the problem. It says to his brothers. Who's he talking about?
But he didn't have brothers.
That's what we're trying to figure out.
What we are talking about.
Right? So that's why it says. It means echav. The Torah says brothers when it means children. That's one shot. Or the other is, in this case, they really, really looked like brothers. Even though they were children, they looked like brothers. Okay. Now we get to the Netziv, who agrees with Rashi in the sense that they're talking about the brothers, but offers a different explanation as to why the Torah doesn't say brothers. Let's just review. Sons, I mean. According to the first opinion, it's Lavan's brothers. That's why it says brothers. Makes perfect sense. According to Rashi, it means his sons. It doesn't say sons for one of two reasons. One, because sometimes Echav means banav, right? Brothers means sons, as we saw in the encyclopedia. Or, if you look at them, and you see the way they acted, and the way they dressed, and the way they looked, you would have sworn they were brothers. They looked exactly alike.
But okay? He never actually called them later on brother, because we do have a dynamic in
the relation. Maybe that's why Rashi uses the second half of the Midrash to say that in this case they were acting like brothers.
Yeah, but
that's a good point.
But Barbara said they are brothers. The question is why
no.
did he include
no,
they're brothers to each other, but the verse says Le'echav to his brothers.
So they all looked and acted like their
like
father.
Like Yaakov. Yeah. Okay, now let's look at the Netziv, page 6. The Netziv, page 6,
and
on this puzzle.
But Yaakov's own brother didn't look or act like him.
Good. Right, very good. Right.
That's another kind of wrench in the works.
That is. That's good. Okay, here we go. Mem Vav. On the bottom right column where the arrow is. Vayomer Yaakov le'echav, Perush Rashi, al pi ha-midrash, de'le'achiv, haynu banav. Okay, so first in the Tziv quotes Rashi. He agrees with Rashi. V'chein lahalan v'yikra le'echav. There's another time later where also it says echav. It means children. She'ein derech eretz. It wouldn't have been proper manners for Yaakov. You have to remember what Yaakov's doing. Why is he calling these people? He's calling them to help them build this monument. So that's not nice to help someone else. So that's why we have children, right? To help us with the yard work. Okay? So it's not Derech Eretz. Yeah.
No, but it's also get together for such fundamental work. Pillar of some
yeah.
you want to call in other people because you want to be bonded to them.
Ah, but here he doesn't call other people, he only calls his sons. If he wanted to be bonded with them, he would have called Lavan's people. But he only calls his sons. But let's see, you're onto something close to what the Netziv says. Excellent. Good point. First of all, it's not nice to call someone else because it's, you know, you're not going to ask someone else to schlep the stuff for you. Ela al korchach hema banav. Therefore, we have no choice but to say this is his sons. Va'adayin tzarich tam lama v'met lo tziva la'avadav u'shvachotav la'sokein. We also then, we understand why he wouldn't ask Lavan's family to help. But why didn't he ask his servants to help? That's what they're there for. So, and the two lemaikativ laachiv leechav. So now we have two questions. If it means his sons, it should have said his sons. And also, why didn't he ask his hired help for help? Two questions. He's going to answer them both. Ela b'shvil shayab azeh ha'inyan midat Yaakov l'shevat betach v'shalom iman Hashem. This whole use of the word echav highlights Yaakov's strategy to develop security and peace with other people. How does that work?
I like that.
Va'af al gav shel Lavan hiknitu harbe ubeprat besof devaravan, even though Lavan persecuted him, especially lately, when he says, Amar lo kol asher ataro elihu, all of this is mine, the kids are mine, your wives are mine, the sheep is mine. Even though he spoke to him that way, mikom akom lo chash Yaakov lazeh. Yaakov didn't pay any attention to it. Ubikesh ler dof achar hashalom. Instead, he decided to pursue peace. So he makes the party to get everyone close. That still doesn't answer our questions. Doesn't explain why the Torah calls his sons his brothers and why didn't ask his hired help. We're just building up to the answer. Now we know why he didn't ask his hired help to do it. Because he wanted to train his children. Right? To always pursue peace. Right? When in doubt, make a party. Right? So had he left his kids playing with their iPhones on the side and asked the hired help to come build this monument and prepare the party, they wouldn't have learned the lesson. So that's why he doesn't ask them. But it still doesn't explain the question of why the Torah uses echav. Okay? Al karchach al kain siva otam lilaket avanim l'shem kach. That's why he tells his children, right, to collect the stones. V'im haya omer bini liktu avanim. Had he said, my son, right, collect, banai, collect stones. Lo haya niklat bilvavam derech musari bazeh. V'ru bilibam ki osim b'tzivui avihem. Had he said to them, hey, kids, do this, why would they have done it? Because my father told me to. But not because we realize the value in building this peaceful relationship. Derech musari bazev, amru b'livam ki osim b'tziv avihem. Al kein kara achai. That's why he says, my brothers. So it's interesting. The Tziv is doing something very interesting. The Torah doesn't quote Yaakov. Right? The Torah narrates it. Yomer Yaakov le'echav. The Siv is assuming that that's also what Yaakov said. Right? Yaakov said, brothers, come help me. The Torah doesn't quote Yaakov.
He didn't right? Say then
it, well, he said something. He somehow communicated to his kids to do something, but we don't know exactly what he said. Then the Siv is saying, we said, Achai, my brothers, liktu avanim, gather stones, lahagid yosher midazo, shagam beli gizrat av. Even without being directed or commanded by your father, you should know that the best course of action is the one that's going to bring you peace and security. So not only is the Netziv explaining why the Torah uses the word echav, he's also telling us that that's what Yaakov himself said. He didn't say banai, my children. He said achai. My brothers, come help me. And assuming, oh, why is dad calling us brothers? Ah, because this must be one of his, you know,
teaching us.
Right. This is not. This is. He doesn't want us to come because of kibud avaim. He wants us to come because this is an aspect of his overall strategy and philosophy of life. So that answers both questions. Why the Torah / Yaakov uses brothers instead of sons, and why Yaakov didn't ask his hired help to do it, right? Asking his hired help, then his children certainly would have lost the message, and they also would have not gotten the clear message had he commanded them as their father. Now he's saying as a colleague, almost as an equal, which, by the way, works in the Midrash. They dress the same. They look the same. They have the same characteristics. They had the same height, meaning on some level, Yaakov's saying, now you're my equals, and so I'm going to teach you what it means. If you're going to be my equals, you're going to take over this whole B'nai Yisrael thing, and it teach you a lesson.
It's interesting. Two of the sons didn't listen to this, obviously. They go and slaughter everybody.
Okay, right. But, okay, good point. Yeah,
but it bothers him for the rest of his life, even to his death.
Right. He talks about it at his death. Right.
Yeah. So in other words, he's basing this on the kind of personality Yaakov clearly had. He did. He was
right.
Very upset by the aggression of his.
I think I froze
those two sons.
Okay. So there you go. There you have it. So you have the Dat Mikra, Rashi, with the two explanations of the Midrash, and the Netziv, which brings it all together to close it all off. Yes?
I would like to underline silent acuteness of this episode.
What do you want to bring?
Stones. Stones by itself, they're playing a significant role in Breshit. And also...
A significant, yes.
And also, we know that a stone